Welcome to Indie Radio Garden. This week, highlights from community radio in the Philadelphia region.
This program brings ordinary citizens to the air to discuss issues related to health, race, safety, workers' rights, and the will to survive in pandemic times.
The first clip comes from WRLG LP 92.9, Germantown Life Enrichment Center, from Vanessa's Money Hour. The host, Vanessa Lowe, interviews Corey Donovan, Executive Director of Impact PHL. They chat about the highlights of Philly's social impact investing opportunities in its monthly newsletter, The Collective. A Black-owned real estate collaborative is one example.
We have Corey Donovan of Impact PHL, and the discussion today is about impact investing in the city of Philadelphia. Tell us a little bit about your background and how you came to do this work.
Well, I grew up in Scranton, Pennsylvania, like a lot of Rust Belt cities, was a boom town in 1900 and for many decades was in decline. So I think that always that instilled sort of an interest in place and how we make good places and opportunities for people that when they grow up, they can, you know, stay where they are and live in the place where they are and their opportunities there. So I think that's always been in the back of my mind. I spent my early career in tech and then pivoted into sort of the startup world and supporting tech companies and tech economic development and whatnot. And so I think that's always kind of been, as a fulcrum or a mechanism for me to sort of, how do we build better places? Because of course, tech companies, growth and jobs and, you know, et cetera, et cetera. But I think I was always working in the space and community and the place building sort of thing. And I think that's always been, whether I was directly stated or not, the passion. And my path to the current work, I think, is another fulcrum or mechanism to how do we build better places? Because I think ultimately what I realized is, your money is your voice and your influence. And, you know, where that money goes, if you don't know, it does something, whether you like it or not. And if you're not intentional about it, it has outcomes that you're not aware of.
Give us a little bit of an understanding of what do we mean by impact investing?
So it does go by a lot of names. I mean, you might have heard impact investing or socially responsible investing or green investing or equitable or ESG might be another term, or SRI, socially responsible investing, et cetera. So there's a lot of terms. And I think, you know, they certainly have sort of, you can slice and dice in a lot of different ways. But I think the important thing that I try to focus people on is, you know, whether you are a high net worth individual or, you know, an average Joe like me with a 401k or some money in the bank, do you know where your money is invested and what that money is doing? Right. And like I said earlier, your money has a voice. It's creating outcomes one way or another. What we try to do, I think is important for people to understand is, where is your money invested? What is it invested in? Right. So if you're invested in mutual funds, you own a lot of different companies, and what are those companies doing, et cetera. So that's the important part for me, is for people to dig into the details about where their money is invested and figure out. And I think an important part of that is, what are the issues that are important to you? What things are absolutely not acceptable to you, and get your money out of that stuff. And then you can work your way up a continuum. I think about it as a continuum, and it's a journey, like a lot of things in life, right? You're not going to make one move and everything falls into place. You're going to do things. You're going to iterate. You're going to continue to figure out what you care about and what things you absolutely not, and you're going to learn. And then you move your way towards, you know, what I think true impact investing is, moving towards, my money is aligned with my values. I'm actively working towards the kinds of outcomes and good in the world that I want to see. And I'm actively involved in the measuring and reporting of the impact investing activities that I'm involved in.
You created or helped to create something called Impact PHL. That is a nonprofit organization. So tell us what the goals of Impact PHL are. Like, you had to write a mission statement, right? So
I describe Impact PHL as a nonprofit advocacy organization. And when I say advocacy, I mean not in a policy kind of way. We're not lobbying, but in a drink milk kind of way, right? So we advocate, encourage, and help people and organizations to align their financial assets with their values and to do it with a local lens, as I call it, okay? So what that means is we engage people and organizations, high net worth individuals, family offices, foundations, corporations. And like I said, average Joe's like me with a 401k, right? And the question I asked earlier, do you know where your money sleeps at night? Do you know what it's invested in, right? And on a daily basis now, showing people where their money is and having them do the, oh my goodness, I didn't know, right? And that's the start of the conversation, right? Because most people don't realize their money is doing things that they absolutely would not want and don't agree with. So then again, it's part of the advocacy and encouraging and engaging and education to help unravel that. And then your money as a Philadelphian, and when I say Philadelphian, I mean people who live in the region, right? Get your money out of stuff that's causing our problems, right? That's the first step. And I think that's sort of a no-brainer for a lot of people once they kind of see this. And then move your money into the investable opportunities that are local.
Let's go back to the founding of this, because it sounds like you've got some really interesting partners that I think some of our listeners may be familiar with, like Ben Franklin Technology Partners. So how did you approach these folks and who are they? Let's list them.
Well, actually, they came together, right? So I describe Impact PHL as a cooperative infrastructure. Mm-hmm. So organizations like Ben Franklin Technology Partners and the Economy League here in Philadelphia.
So give us a little, at least a sentence or two about each of those organizations.
Right. Well, hopefully I do them justice. Ben Franklin Technology Partners is one of the most active venture capital investors in the whole country. They typically are, they make early stage investments in a lot of our tech startups here in the Philadelphia ecosystem. And those startups need capital in order to execute and grow and create jobs. The Economy League is a think and do tank here in Philadelphia. They've been around for 100 years. And basically, they are involved in a lot of the, what do we need to do to grow our economy and create good jobs here in the ecosystem? Founders of B-Lab, which is a nonprofit leading the companies doing good in the world, right? There's a lot of companies that are well known that are also certified B Corps. That's the certification people look for.
Let's stop there because I've started to hear a little bit more about B Corps. So it's essentially a new certification for for-profit businesses, I think, right? That demonstrates that they are committed to serving their community and not just the financial bottom line. Is that a good way to describe them?
It is. I think, you know, when you say, hey, listen, I want to shop with companies that are doing good in the world, that treat people well, that are not contributing to climate change, the question becomes, how do I know, right? Like if I always have this joke of an asbestos-laden lollipop factory, right? Like, you know, if this asbestos-laden lollipop factory is donating $20 million to your community to build playgrounds, is that it? Like they're still making asbestos-laden lollipops, right? And it's a ridiculous example, but the point is this give-back model allows companies that are doing a lot of harm to polish up their image by doing a lot of give-back. So if you want to find companies that take care of people, planet, and society, the question becomes, how do you know? And the answer is certified B Corps are the Olympic athletes of that space. And companies like Ben & Jerry's or Athleta or one of the yogurt companies is a certified B Corp. And there's tons of them in our own community here, like Saxby's in Philly, the coffee company, is a certified B Corp.
Great, great. All right, so we've got Ben Franklin Technology Partners, Economy League, B Lab, which creates the B Corp. That can be a little confusing. Who else is involved?
Well, and it's a lot of people and organizations here in the Philadelphia region that we're just starting to see this, right? That we're starting to say, hey, listen, we're not a poor region. We've got a lot of wealth. We've got a lot of opportunity. And we need to align our financial horsepower in this region. Social Venture Circle is another one. There's a lot of individuals. Social Venture Circle is a group of high net worth individuals that are actively aligning their own personal assets and making investments in social enterprises here in the Philadelphia region. So it's a national organization with a local Philly chapter that's very, very active. And all of those folks are basically our choir, you know, as Impact PHL, right? They're talking the talk and walking the walk. And they were actually part of the founding, the foundation of Impact PHL as well.
So let's talk about the organization itself. How big is the staff and what's a typical day for the staff? What are they doing?
Well, I'll say that as a nonprofit, so we have two staff. We're hopefully about to hire our third person. So we are growing. Our board is very, very involved. I talk to every single one of them every week. We have a monthly meeting. So I think as an organization, a lot of nonprofit leaders would love to have their board as involved as mine. I consider them extension of staff and they're actively involved in various aspects of our organization. Really, this is, you know, an ecosystem building movement where anybody and everybody can come to the table and have an active role because we all have levers to pull in terms of our personal wealth.
Like in the Germantown community, we have a lot of longtime activists who are connected with various organizations, many of them nonprofits, you know, that kind of thing. But I'm glad that we're talking about how even everyday people can have some influence on this and maybe, you know, connect with Impact PHL in that way. Tell us more about this list. When did it get started? How do you compile it? Is there vetting involved? Is there a name for that list?
Yes, the name of it, we call it the Greater Philadelphia Impact Investing Index. And the way it came about was about 2 years ago or so, as we started to beat this drum about, you know, hey, do you know your money is any of your money invested locally? That message resonated with people. And I think it resonates with with almost everyone, right? I live here, I care about my community, I care, and we're donating, we're volunteering, and we're invested in we're engaged in our community. But most of our money, very little of our money is actually invested locally. And yet then we look around, it's like, hey, how can I invest in my community? And as a business owner or as an entrepreneur, you're like, hey, where can I get investors? Unfortunately, our financial system, without getting into a long diatribe, isn't really set up to help money flow locally, right? I know how to buy Apple or Tesla. I know how to buy mutual funds. It's hard to find local investable opportunities. And so as we started to beat this drum and people say, hey, this is really interesting. Where are these opportunities? That's what really sort of very organically created it. Well, let's start to catalog them, right? And so as we were out in the community as a young nonprofit, beating this drum and talking to people, we started to find these opportunities. And so we started to catalog them in the index, which is linked on our website, on the action page of our website. And then we started to get enough where we started to break them into categories, right? Because there's social enterprises, businesses, there's real estate, then there's investment funds. So someone else invests your money for you. And then there's crowdfunding, which people know about GoFundMe and they know about Kickstarter. But now, as of the last, I don't know, 6 or 8 years, legislation enabled you to invest in businesses, not only in your own community, but in other parts of the world, women-led, minority-led, et cetera. So you can find businesses. And so we catalog all of those. Anything that has an impact on the Philadelphia community is in that list.
The second audio comes from WJYNLP 98.5, Uptown Entertainment and Development. Lady O, co-host of the show, The Tall Talk, interviewed residents and employees of Temple University and Mission of Mercy as they collaborated to give free dental services to Philadelphia residents.
If you're like many Americans, you've probably delayed, canceled, and avoided your biannual dental checkup. In fact, according to the University of Illinois College of Dentistry, more than 74 million Americans have no dental coverage at all. Why? Well, simply put, there is a severe lack of affordable dental health care in America. In order to combat this disturbing trend, this year, on September 24th and 25th, Temple University Kornberg School of Dentistry provided free dental services to the community on a first-come, first-served basis. Teresa Hopkins, the Family Community Development Coordinator at Temple, further explained.
What you are witnessing today is called the Mission of Mercy and Temple University's Kornberg School of Dentistry Mom and PA event. Mission of Mercy goes around through the state of Pennsylvania once a year to try and provide free dental services. Unfortunately, due to COVID, we were unable to do so last year. And so this year, 2021, Temple University Kornberg School of Dentistry was nice enough to offer to partner with Mom and PA to provide the free services today and tomorrow, September 24th and 25th.
Adman Ishman, the Dean of Temple University Kornberg School of Dentistry, relayed the positive impact this event had on the community.
The event today and tomorrow is part of our mission to care for the community. We're providing free dental care for 2 days. Today we'll serve about 450, and hopefully by tomorrow we serve another 450. It's exciting to see, but also it is humbling to see it, because it shows that so many people need care and not getting care.
Volunteers like Elizabeth, who worked with Ma and Pa for over 7 years, conveyed the importance of this event to the people she served.
This event is just so important because, as you can see this morning, we had a line wrapped around the building. Wow. There are so many people in this community that just need access to affordable dental care, and it's just not being provided. And so we help them as soon as possible. We get them in as many people as we can in the 2 days. And then we take statistics from this mission, and we go to legislation, and we show them just how inaccessible dental care is for these people. So it not only helps them right there get out of pain, it furthers legislation to include dental care in insurance and make things more affordable and reasonable and kind of make change, especially with COVID. You know, kind of cutting people off at the knees and pulling them away from their access, because places that did do clinics, you know, there used to be like Sunday Smiles and stuff for kids. They're not doing that anymore because of COVID. Everyone's just so scared of COVID that they're not giving people the help that they need.
Barbara, a proud Philadelphia resident and Uptown Theater attendee, spoke of the general air of appreciation that permeated the atmosphere at the temple grounds.
Most of the patients that I've seen today and have spoken to really appreciate what they had done today. And they were so thankful. Everybody was very polite. Thank you very much. I really do appreciate it. One lady had was the first lady in line. I asked her, what time did she come in? She said that she was here since 8 p.m.
What?
Yesterday, which was Thursday evening.
What?
She was the first lady in line to come in and get her free treatment. But this is the second time I've worked with Mission of Mercy. And the first time I worked with them, they were at the Leocoris Center, Temple Leocoris Center. And it was a beautiful event, as this was today. And as I stated before, the people who received the free treatment were very, very, very pleased.
And as Elizabeth clipped attendees' wristbands at the end of the day, she too noticed the air of appreciation.
And everyone has just been so kind and so excited. You know, this morning we were running a little bit late because our computers went down, and I went outside to tell everyone we were running late, and this very kind woman was like crying, and I was like, I'm sorry, like, I know we'll get done soon. And she's like, no, I'm crying because you came out here to tell us that, and sometimes when you get free things, people don't care enough to treat you like you're still important. You're still a patient. You still have a timeline, and like, you're just, they expect you to just wait.
Right.
And it just really, it really hit my heart, because I feel like just because they're getting free dental care doesn't mean that we shouldn't be on time, that we shouldn't be professional, that they shouldn't get the best of everything.
One common theme among the volunteers and directors of the Ma and Pa missionary event was the correlation of good dental health to one's mental, social, and physical well-being.
Yes. Dental pain is, you know, physical pain. It's affecting your whole body. If you have a toothache, you know, you could end up with a heart attack. You could have, like, you know, a million different things wrong with you. You know, dental decay can travel to your heart, and it could hurt you.
Right.
It can, oral cancer can spread if uncaught. You know, these things, these are life and death things.
Dental is not something that, we always talk about medical. Do you have medical? Do you have medical? But our teeth are just as important as, and really more important than the other portions of our body. Because if our teeth are ailing, then that ailment can travel to other parts of our bodies.
Right.
So taking care of your teeth ensures that you have good health, good gum health, good heart, which leads to good heart health and things of that nature.
Dental health is important because it affects you financially and socially.
Yes.
We don't talk about the social stigma of having a broken tooth, right?
Exactly. Nor the pain. We don't talk about the pain. We don't talk about, that's why I said and when you see on television, you see the commercials, whitening is pushed.
Mm-hmm.
Whitening is great. However, if your tooth is in pain, you don't want to go to work.
Right.
You don't want to talk to anyone. We try and merge the two. We have medical professionals on site that are doing medical triage, checking blood pressures and things of that nature.
Okay.
We've partnered with GPHA, Greater Philadelphia Health Action Network.
Mm-hmm.
They're even doing COVID testing as well as they're providing vaccinations today.
So excellent.
So we're merging everybody, dental and medical, to ensure that the whole person, which is why we push dental as well, to ensure that the entire person is being treated, the whole health.
Well, this is a long separation that started a long time ago when dentistry was developed as a profession separate from medicine, because initially they were sort of combined, but it was very simple, mostly extraction of teeth.
Mm.
And then dentistry started to develop as restorative dentistry, to restore and keep teeth functional and look nice and so on, and dentistry spread separated. There are two components of the health insurance at all health insurance plans, which is the public, Medicaid, mm-hmm. Medicare. We only are covered, there's coverage under Medicaid. For children is mandatory,
right.
But for adults is optional.
Right.
So the states do not have to provide, and not all states provide adult Medicaid. Our state does provide a very limited program, which was cut in 2010. The fees have not increased for us in adult Medicaid for over 15 years.
Wow.
So imagine that the cost of living increase, and we have to pay higher salaries and higher costs, but the fees of providing care did not increase. Now, because of many reasons, which I explained, historical reasons, the reality of it, we separated the mouth from the body. But the mouth is a very important window for health. There's a lot of functions. We need our teeth. We need our oral cavity to do. And also social health, because if the mouth doesn't look nice, the teeth don't look nice, people cannot hire it. Service and work in a service industry or any job.
Right.
So I consider oral health is essential for health,
mm-hmm.
and we need to work to integrate and support that concept. The integration between oral health and health is important. And actually, I think that the dentist and dental providers could play a significant role in promoting health.
Right.
For example, we see patients more regularly than, because patients come to us also for preventive care,
yes,
not just when they have a problem. So we, in the United States, the dentist will see about 60 to 70% of the population every year.
Hmm.
We can do a lot of preventive services in the dental office. So it means expanding the scope so that we can do testing for diabetes. That we can manage with the providers that major medical conditions which affects our community significantly. We can advise people and coordinate their care while they are receiving dental care.
Right.
So there's a need for rethinking how we integrate and what the medical could do for the dental and what we can do for the medical and vice versa.
And if you're experiencing a toothache or just need a dental checkup and miss the Ma and Pa's missionary event, fear no more. For Temple University Kornberg School of Dentistry in the City of Brotherly Love has been providing high-quality dental care for its residents at a low cost for years.
Now, Temple University Kornberg School of Dentistry has been in the area for over 153 years.
Wow!
And we provide services all year long, every day, Monday through Friday, to individuals, whether they are insured or uninsured. The beauty about the dental school is we do everything on site. So we do cleanings, exams, x-rays, braces, root canals, you name it, we do it all here. And we also provide a program for individuals who are uninsured.
Mm.
So just because you don't have insurance doesn't mean that you get turned away.
Okay.
We developed a program specifically for uninsured individuals called our Dental Pass program.
Mm.
Now with the Dental Pass program, you pay $150 up front. But that $150 covers you for an entire year. You get two exams, two cleanings, two sets of x-rays, fluoride treatment, and 15% off of other selective services just for uninsured individuals. Now let's say that you are not interested in that particular program, mm-hmm. but you still want to have services done. We also have a service called sliding fee scale.
Mm-hmm.
So let's say you have some insurance, but your insurance doesn't cover all of the services that you may need. We offer you the sliding fee scale so that you are provided a discounted rate based on your income.
Hmm.
So if you don't have insurance or you have insurance and it's not covering what you basically need, we provide you with the sliding fee scale. And then if you are totally uninsured and you are looking for treatment, we provide you with the dental pass program so that we do not turn anyone away.
The dental school is a large operation. We see about 30,000 patients a year. But we are a low-fee operation. We have to pay for the expenses of providing care and the staff salary. So we're not free care, but we're very local. Mm. That's because we are an educational institution. And our task is to educate the future dentists. In Pennsylvania, about 4 out of 10 dentists are graduates from Temple.
Wow.
So we are a large educational school for dentists in the Commonwealth of Pennsylvania. We care about people. We care about the community. And so this mission fits, the mission of Mercy fits exactly with that scope of what we want to do. As far as the dental school here, what we're seeing is the number of patients seeking care increased since we opened. And we opened in Memorial Day 2020.
Right, after
COVID. Now, we are actually higher than 2019.
Wow.
Because we provide care, and we provide care for all, and we don't have any restrictions. It's a normal operation here at the dental school. It's not different than it was in March 2020. We're protecting everyone with the PPE that we use, with the all the other filtration we use to protect people from the splatter that happens when we drill teeth and clean teeth. And that has worked for us and worked for, we don't have reported cases caused by dental treatment.
Right,
there are
right.
cases that are caused by social contact, few cases, but not by dental treatment, but because you went to the office. And I think the majority of the data show that dental offices, because of the protections, are...
Abman further explains how he's helping to change, nurture, and positively influence the culture of trust between the Black residents of Philly and Temple University Kornberg School of Dentistry.
At this location in, on North Broad Street, we have been in it since 1947.
Wow.
As a dental school in Philadelphia, we have existed since 1863. This is the fourth building where the school is located. So we have a very long history of working with the community and providing care. Under my deanship since 2008, our emphasis is on patients. How we treat people with dignity, with respect, and with care is what we strive to do. So patients actually could email us, the senior leadership, at any time, and we advertise that email to tell us if there's any problem with they encounter at the school. I have a large group of people, almost a community of 1,000 people, and things do happen, but we immediately take action to stop them and to change them and to address them. But equality is our goal. Treatment of all, regardless of your income, your status, is the same for all. Our focus here in education is to treat everyone with respect, regardless of who they are, how they look, what their clothes look like, how much money they have. We will have to treat every human being as equal. And that's the emphasis of the school. And that is both structurally, how we schedule patients and see that the students see their patients instead of discriminating against some patients, they don't want to call them and schedule them. And operationally, we pay a lot of attention to that. And we will work to improve it. And we will appreciate our patients and the community to tell us how we can improve it.
And I'm Lady O, reporting for WJYN 985 FM Uptown Radio.
Thanks for joining us. My name is Tom Cassetta, and I'm the station manager of WGGT 92.9 G-Town Radio. Indie Radio Garden is a Prometheus Radio Project production.